Greetings, it's Terry at Cottage in the Court. I've been a little adventurous lately. Last month, I decided to discover parts of Maryland that I wasn't really familiar with. It was part of my plan to reset, renew, and restore in place. Normally, at this time of the year, I'm in Europe, and it's been a passion and a practice of mine for the past 10 years. However, this year, I'm local, and it's okay. So discovering Maryland has been, let's say, my favorite pastime lately. The first place I thought of going in Southern Maryland was a place called Robin Hill Vineyard and Farm. There was an invitation to visit Robin Hill and attend a tasting. And I was a little tired of looking at my four walls. So I decided to be adventurous and explore and attend. I'm so glad I did. On Labor Day, I decided to go back down into Southern Prince George's County. But this time, I visited Romano Vineyard and Winery. Once again, so glad I did. Maryland wines have come a long way. But you know what? To find out more, visit my blog, cottageinthecourt.com. In the meantime, since we're talking about women in Maryland and a little bit of agriculture, I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Kim Rush Lynch. When I think of Kim, I think of firecrackers. I think of a person that helps me get into good trouble. I think of someone that is truly interested in building community, particularly the agriculture community in Prince George's County. Let me share my visit with Kim. How you doing, Kim Rush Lynch?
I am doing well, Terry. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Kim, what do you do for the Prince George's County agricultural community?
Well, currently I am the Urban Agricultural Conservation Planner with the Prince George's Soil Conservation District. And, you know, a lot of that is helping to support our urban farmers with their soil health issues, also with stormwater management and erosion control, as well as helping to triage resources for them. So if they're potentially looking for land or if they're looking for business planning and marketing advice, I know, you know, some resources are in my network that they can reach out to for some additional assistance.
Wow, so that's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot.
That's my primary position, but I was the past ag marketing specialist for the county with University of Maryland Extension as well. So I've been working in, on food and farm issues in the county for a little bit of time now.
You know, as much as I investigate the agriculture community and extension offices, women have always played a huge role in extension and serving community. That's phenomenal.
We do it, right?
Yeah, you know, and thanks for being. So why is agriculture important to you as an individual?
Well, agriculture for me is super important because it's something that touches each of us on a daily basis. You know, thinking about what we eat and put into our bodies, thinking about the clothes that we wear, you know, fiber, of course, timber, you know, our houses and homes. Basically, agriculture is touching every part of our lives. It's also, you know, super important, I think, in terms of conservation. And I'm talking now with my Prince George's Soil Conservation District hat on. There's a lot of opportunities for farmers to help reduce nutrient loads, for example, in the Chesapeake Bay, and also sediment and other runoff just by implementing certain conservation practices. And the other issue is economic development. You know, agriculture is contributing to, you know, the county's bottom line in terms of, you know, economic development opportunities. So it just, it touches so many aspects of our lives from, you know, economics, to health, to like the environmental impacts. So mm-hmm. I feel like it's that common thing that kind of brings us all together.
Yeah. Since we've been in this period of unintentional pausing, what is the demographic that's been reaching out to you most for your help?
It's interesting that you mentioned that. There's a lot of folks that I find that have been talking about doing an urban farm, but they're trying to figure out the time because, of course, a lot of our urban farmers have full-time jobs. And so, you know, when COVID in particular hit, a lot of them started working from home. So they had, you know, a little bit more time since they weren't having to deal with their commutes and also had some lunch breaks and, you know, could get out there and work a little bit more. So I'm finding that there's been a renewed interest in people's projects, you know, mm-hmm. as a result. And the other thing is I know a couple of folks that have either recently retired or are planning to retire by the end of the year. And so they also have, you know, a renewed interest. And some of that is due to COVID and some of that is just, you know, due to life plans as they are. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, you know, there's been some opportunities there, you know, for our urban farmers specifically. I've also had some other small farmers, not small farmers, I hate when I say that, small farm operations. Farmers, you know, they aren't small, just, you know, their operations might be smaller. Right. In terms of, you know, just resources about, you know, food safety, for example, or, you know, their markets were lost if they were working with restaurants. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they had to kind of pivot. And so they may have reached out to me to, you know, ask me if there's any, you know, other additional CSA subscribers, for example, that they could reach out to. So those are some of the folks that have been reaching out to me mm-hmm. since the pandemic started.
How are the CSAs in Prince George's County? Are they doing okay? Are they overwhelmed? Do we need more?
We could definitely use more. Almost all of the ones that I've spoken with, they cannot meet the demand. They have waiting lists. So I think a lot more people are interested in buying local. As the pandemic has helped that tremendously too, because, you know, some of it is, I think people were concerned about what would make it to the grocery store while others were concerned about, you know, just being in the grocery store. So, you know, going to a farm for many, I think felt safer or, you know, participating in some sort of drop. But then I think people also just had a renewed interest in buying local.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the terrific highlights that Prince George's County does to support, other than looking for land, looking for places, connecting them? Understandably, everyone had to pivot at the beginning of this. Are those relationships gonna be longstanding? Are they just for the moment? How has it really changed the face of agriculture in Prince George's County?
You know, I think the word is, you know, the word is still out on that. We're not quite sure long-term how this will go. But it does seem that it's more on people's minds at the forefront. And I think with this pandemic, it looks like it's not going away anytime soon. So in my opinion, I think this is an opportunity for people to develop, you know, quote unquote, healthy habits, and maybe buy local and shop local is one of those. And once you get started, I mean, you know, Terry, once you start consuming fresh local produce and products, you know, you don't want to go back. When you go back, you're like, you know.
Yeah, it's like, what was I thinking, right?
Exactly. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there. And the county recently started a Buy Prince George's mm-hmm. campaign. And so mm-hmm. I'm hoping to see more of our farmers and our value-added food products, you know, being advertised through that campaign. Mm-hmm. You see some of our wineries have been a part of that. So hopefully others will, you know, become a part of that as well. I think that's an effort with our tourism office, Chamber of Commerce, and our Economic Development Corporation. So mm-hmm. that's wonderful. The other thing is the county has a couple of governing bodies that work on food and ag issues. For example, mm-hmm. we have our Agricultural Resource Advisory Committee, mm-hmm. and that is, you know, something that's basically folks are appointed by the county executive and confirmed by the county council specifically to work on ag issues in the county. And they meet several times a year and the meetings are open to the public so people can come and hear a little bit more about some of the pressing issues in agriculture, specifically in Prince George's County. We also have a Food Equity Council, which I'm a part of. That's our local food policy council. And you know, they've been really active during COVID. I mean, we're always super active, of course, mm-hmm. but during COVID, the Food Equity Council really stepped up in terms of helping to assist food assistance providers and, you know, and connecting them with local farms, for example. I think we're going to see more of that in the future, especially as there are more funding opportunities for, you know, food assistance providers to work with local farms. In addition to the Food Equity Council actually was responsible for the urban ag legislation. They partnered with University of Maryland Extension, the Prince George's Soil Conservation District, and Eco City Farms to create opportunities for urban farms to locate in a variety of zones in the county. And so, you know, that's a wonderful opportunity. We have the ability to have our urban farms in residential zones, but also commercial and industrial. It allows for controlled environmental ag, which is, you know, things of course like hydroponics and aquaponics. And there's of course a property tax credit to go along with it. So the county is really trying to incentivize urban farmers, which is
wonderful. That's amazing. That is really great.
And,
oh, wow.
Park and Planning Commission, a lot of people don't know this, but they lease a lot of farmland to farmers in the county. So that is something wonderful that our, you know, parks department in this county is doing. So we look forward to seeing more of those leases. Also, they are interested in partnering with the district and Eco City Farms on an incubator farm in Watkins Park. So hopefully that's something we'll have to look forward to in the future. It's still in the very beginning stages, the conceptual stages, but at least, you know, there's some land that's been identified. So now
yeah. We need
some funding to go along with it.
Yeah, that's great because, you know, I'm in District Heights, so I'm in central Prince George's County. And yeah, I can go to Southern Maryland, I can go to Upper Marlboro, but Watkins Park is like 7 minutes from my house. So that is going to be amazing.
And
oh, I hope that comes
posted through. Because once that thing gets up and running, it would be great for you to come out and do a story on that and talk with some of the urban farmers. I think some of the beginning farmers in Eco City Farms program will be taking advantage of that. That'll kind of be the next step for them.
Oh, and that's going to be awesome.
Farmers can work cooperatively together.
Yeah.
To sell their product.
Yeah. That's why I'm hoping that while we've been dealing with this period of unintentional pausing, that the conversations and the connectivity between farmers, between urban farmers, people that are trying to do small farms in residential areas, I hope that conversation continues because it can only grow. It's like a seed. This was the seed. That's just going to become the plant and it's going to grow and reach out and branch out. And Prince George's County will once again be amazing. That's going to be awesome.
Absolutely.
So the minority farming community, I know that there's a farmer's market, Capital Harvest, I believe it is.
The Capital Market.
Yes. Tell me about that.
It's a fantastic market that was started actually by the Food Justice Coalition. Mm-hmm. And they were looking to bring fresh local products to the Capitol Heights neighborhood. And mm-hmm. they actually have had a couple of locations since they started a few years ago. And they recently settled on a partnership with Mary in Maine. And so they've set up there and it's wonderful because they have all Black owned businesses that are vending there. So some of my favorite farms there are the Queen of Greens, Erga Bay Boyd. We have Tawala Farms there. And starts with an N. I just bought some fantastic sauce and I'm blanking right now, but I'll get you the name of that. But I had a great pasta sauce from her and a garlic sauce. Yeah. And then I also know that the market itself will purchase product from some other local farms to have available just to supplement, you know, some of the items that the other farmers have. And they also work with Dreaming Out Loud, who's based in DC. And they have a Black owned CSA, essentially. And, you know, so they're also working and helping to source product for that particular market. It's fun.
Wow.
And I just heard that Puddin, I don't know if you're familiar with Puddin, but they do wonderful po' boy sandwiches.
Uh-huh.
They'll be starting there tomorrow, I believe.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, I'll have to delay my plans to not leave until after 1 o'clock because they open from 12 to 4, right?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, I'll just have to delay my departure. It's amazing because who knew Prince George's County had all this agriculture harmony going on right in our midst.
Absolutely. And you know, at one point we had 18, I think, farmers markets in this county. I think now there's probably a more closer to 13. I know some markets decided to close down. I know with COVID, it was possible for some markets to open, and then for others, I don't know if it was volunteer capacity or what, that they were not able to. So that's another beautiful thing about our county is all the farmers markets that we have. I think, you know, many days of the week you can find a market someplace you can participate in and get some of those fresh local goodies.
Yeah. So are there cut flower farms here?
There sure are. We have several of them. I know of Pale Blue Dot Farms. She's over in Clinton. And she actually is a recent high tunnel recipient from NRCS, the Natural Resources Conservation Service, has a variety of financial incentive programs for farmers. And one of them is a high tunnel system. And for people who don't know what that is, it's essentially a temporary greenhouse, but you grow in the ground as opposed to a greenhouse where you might be growing on, you know, benches and things of that nature. And the whole idea is that helps with protecting the soil, helps reduce erosion. You can put micro irrigation inside and really control the water. So, and it's season extension. So she's growing in one of those, which is very exciting. We have someone who's been here forever, Suzanne Monty with Red Chimney Flower Farm. So she's been growing for a long time, and I think she's helped to incubate some other, you know, cut flower farmers. Of course, Bahia Parks with Eco Blossoms Farm. She does nothing but peonies. I think she has a few other things, but peonies are her big thing. She has some amazing ones. And, you know, she sells to florists and for weddings and things like that. And we have a new one that's up and coming, Sweet Love Flower Farm with Jamila Cassignol. And she's right now growing in her backyard in Upper Marlboro under low tunnels and just directly in the ground, of course. But she and Bahia actually are partnering on a plot of land at Park and Planning. So they're expanding their operations together. So it will be interesting, you know, to see what becomes of them and how they grow.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm missing some other ones, but those were, you know, some of the main
some highlights. It's amazing that Parks and Planning is really reaching into community to support, grow, and help young farmers or young urban farmers thrive. That's awesome.
And, you know, Park and Planning recently helped Gwynn Park High School. We had a situation where their FFA, which used to stand for Future Farmers of America, now it's just FFA, their FFA chapter grows plants in their greenhouse every year as a fundraiser for their programs. But with COVID, they weren't able to have their fundraiser, and they had all of these plants and didn't know what to do with them. So actually, Soil Conservation District and Park and Planning partnered together to actually move the seedlings into the community at various meal distribution events and partnered with Daniel Glaros's district and also with University of Maryland Extension to get some of those seedlings out at those feeding distribution sites. And then Park and Planning had grab and go events, and they called three of them grab and grow. And that's where some of the Gwynn Park students' seedlings went to them. And the great thing is that Park and Planning actually took all of the seedlings into their greenhouses, which was very helpful because then, you know, they were out of the Gwynn Park greenhouse. And the greenhouse manager there, he, Roger Ford, he actually was in the Gwynn Park hort program back in his heyday.
Oh, nice.
Heyday, because he's still in his heyday. But back in the day, he was a graduate of that program. So this was really, you know, near and dear to his heart to help out those students. So again, another way where Park and Planning has really come through for farmers in the county.
Wow.
And for residents, you know, because that was a way to you know, connect people. And I tell you, I went to one of the feeding sites and was helping to hand out plants, and people were so excited, you know, to grow their own food. So
yeah I mean it's important, number one, but it's also very exciting to watch things grow. You know, as a gardener, I'm a seedaholic, I'm a plantaholic. Give me a cutting, I'm going to make sure that it works, or at least do my best. And there's something magical about watching something grow. You know, even when you watch a community grow, that too is amazing. That's awesome. So if someone wanted to try their hand at becoming an urban farmer, what steps would you tell them to take?
Well, first I'm going to tell them, shameless plug for the Soil Conservation District. I'm going to tell them to contact us because we can help them, you know, look at their site initially, determine if it's zoned for urban farming, which so much of the county is. I think 79% of the county is zoned for urban ag. So we're hoping maybe that will increase even more, but that's still a large percentage of our county. So if they check with us first, we can tell them a little bit about their land, you know, if they're zoned for it. We can also come out and assist them with soil tests, whether they do it themselves or, you know, we pull the first sample for our urban farmers and then talk with them about some conservation practices that they might consider, as well as connect them with other resources in the county that can help them with getting their enterprise started as well. So that's the first thing that I would suggest that they do. And I also suggest that they think about contacting Extension, of course, because there's so many business planning and marketing resources, and much of the Master Gardener information that they have is very applicable to our urban farms. And in fact, some of our urban farmers were, actually still are, but they started out as Master Gardeners, so.
Yeah, that Master Gardener program definitely is interesting. I've been a Master Gardener for a while, so.
And you're starting your own project soon.
Oh yeah, I've got one. I've got one in the embryo stages, as we say. So that, I mean, I don't know what I would do if I could not allow my hands to touch the soil. It's really a part of me. It's a part of my DNA. It's a part of who I am. So I'm quite passionate about promoting those that grow, things that we can get from the soil, because those are our gifts. You know, and just going way back, I even just found out yesterday that one of my ancestors has written a book that's on Amazon, shameless plug, or as of the 22nd. Yeah. And so I'm going to be chatting with him because he talks about how this earth has affected our society and things that we can do. So I'm excited about that as well. But for people that are in Prince George's County and beyond, that want to, or that have decided, you know, this gardening thing really brings me peace, love, and happiness. What words do you have to share with them?
Well, the one thing is just to keep at it, keep experimenting, try new things, you know, talk with other gardeners, because I know you know this, you know, the more gardeners that I speak with, the more I learn. You know, and start talking with some of the farmers in the area too, because they can tell you how this is applied on a larger scale, and you might find that they are struggling with some of the same things that you're struggling with in your garden, or they have some fantastic solutions, you know, for you. So I think that's the big thing, is just there's so many opportunities out there for gardeners, and just really networking and, you know, becoming a part of that community. You know, once you get the bug, there's no way out. You just keep on going.
Yeah, because once that seed is planted, that's it. That is it. Well, Kim, thank you so much. You know I'll be in touch with you because, 2020, I considered my year of clarity. 2021 is my year of action.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. So here I come.
I feel like you're always a woman of action, though, Terry.
Oh, you know, because life is short. And once you stop moving, you allow age to catch up with you. And I'm just not going there, Kim.
Good for you.
Yep. Well, thank you for taking out some time this afternoon to share with us. And I look forward to chatting with you probably tomorrow.
Excellent. Yes. Have to meet up with you for one of those po' boy sandwiches and some greens from one of our farmers at the Capital Market.
Didn't I tell you? Kim Rush Lynch is a fire starter. She is a woman about her work. Kim, thank you for taking a little bit of time to chat with me today. I'd like to share a poem with you, written by June Kellum. It's called The Face of Fall. The golden summer days are coming to an end. Days of leisure, loafing in the sun. Soon the leaves will show a slight and subtle change to let us know that autumn has begun. The leaves will turn to gold, with a touch of red and brown, and soon will start to fall in great profusion. The world will be transformed into a magic place. If not, in fact, it's surely the illusion. Pumpkins in the fields to gather big and gold. Harvest parties planned for one and all. Hay rides for the young and apple bobbing too. All of these make up the face of fall. I ask that you follow me. My website, cottageinthecourt.com. Instagram and Twitter, Cottage in Court. And of course, my collaborative podcast with Peggy Riccio called Gardens and Plants, where we discuss all things gardening, including places that we go and things that are growing right in our own backyards. In the meantime, embrace nature. Recognize the gifts that she gives to us daily. And engage. Enjoy.